can't put next. Let me try to put you on conference.
Okay.
No, put you on VIP. Maybe that'll hold you. I don't know. You might get knocked off.
Okay.
Forgive me. You can call back.
No problem.
Okay. This is just a technical. Don't worry. The people that are not interested, don't worry about this. We're going to get to the programming in a bit. But I got to try this out first. Oh, I knocked them off. VIP didn't work. Wait. Hold on a second. Oh, knocked you back off, too.
Yeah. Now you got me on.
Yeah. This is not going to work. Let me try conference. Hey,
am I on?
Yeah, you're on. But okay. I think you're going to be knocked off real soon.
Oh, dear.
But don't worry. Call back because I'm going to stop this right after. And then we can talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Keep working and get it right.
Yeah. Okay. See you in a bit.
I'll work with
you. All right. Oh, wait. I got two people on.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Second person talk.
Ah.
Oh, I'm here.
And I'm here.
Oh, that's lovely. So it's not VIP, it's conference. Well, now that's lovely.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah. Why don't you both talk at the same time so I can see if these levels work?
This is Louise, I know.
Yeah. Okay, keep going.
Okay.
But I know your voice.
Not knowing the soul necessarily.
Have you received a call from Smith Associates?
No, I heard about it. Were you the one who called Bob to tell about it?
Was.
Okay, that works. That's well lovely. Can you all hold on just a little bit longer?
Okay.
Listen, Anthony, don't interfere with our conversation, though, okay?
I won't. I'm trying to get these other callers on. Hold on.
Yes.
Another caller's there. Nope, that caller's gone. Let's knock that one off. Okay, hello. We have a third caller.
I'm not a technical guy, but don't you think the word conference sort of giving you a clue?
Oh, yeah, that's true. But you see, we got conference, we got VIP. Usually the I can't even explain this phone system to you. But
hey,
I got the clue. I worked it out. This is why we have to. Yes.
Later.
All right, now.
If there's a VIP phone line, I want to be on that one.
Yeah, but that's like I got to call you. somehow, you know, something like that.
You hurt my feelings otherwise.
I understand. What were you all talking about, by the way?
Oh, there's word that some association is now soliciting listeners off the air apparently to replace the marathon, which was such a bust last night.
No, he didn't say no. He said this was an addition to.
That's normal telemarketing?
Well, it was like a telemarketer. It was called Smith Associates, and they were asking, so they were in dire need of funds.
Okay.
And he wanted me to contribute at least $100.
Oh, that's regular old telemarketing. I mean, a lot of nonprofits do that.
But what I'm saying, I asked him, is this going to be an addition to the marathon? And I told him, unless there are things that I'm not satisfied with, and I didn't like the way I heard about that clock incident, I didn't appreciate that.
Oh.
And I miss Robert Knight. So, and no one induced me to call and say this or anything else I've said, but I'm just not satisfied. But,
yeah, how about Brother Shine is gone?
Yes, yes.
And now Bob Letter is gone.
And the way Anthony's talking, I'm concerned also.
Here's my big problem here. You see, my whole thing is, I mean, I hate to sound like a whole bunch of other people, but I actually came to the station to do radio. I mean, I really did. And my history at the station has been doing radio. And not only doing radio, but actually stretching the boundaries at BAI and beyond WBAI. And so, I mean, that's what I do. That's all I do. And regardless of who was station manager, program directors, all the rest of that stuff, you know, let's just do radio. My whole thing is just let's do radio. And the trappings around radio, whether you smile when you do radio or not, you know, everybody knows the thing about radio. Whatever your demeanor is when you walk through the door is what you sound like on the air is what we're about. Not what you wear to walk through the door, not how you, whatever it is. I mean, one of the stories that I really appreciate is when I was talking to Roscoe, used to broadcast on this. Yeah, you know, Roscoe is a very well-known DJ in New York, and he DJed for a lot of big-time radio stations. And he told me one time, you know, he said, Anthony, you know what I love about WBAI? From the time, if you go to a regular commercial radio station, when you walk through the halls, all they're talking about is their pay, how can they get this retirement fund, or they're building this extension on their house, or some other money matter. When you walk through BAI, from the time you get from the front door to the main studio, you get an education, because there's all kinds of conversations, real conversations going on about real situations, not just, you know, fulfilling your own, you know, visceral needs. And that's what he appreciated most about BAI, and that's why he liked coming to WBAI. Whether he agreed with it or not, he just loved the conversations. And so that's part of the whole thing. You know, and just because you get a new building or paint something, it has nothing to do with the people. You don't touch the people. You know, you can touch the building, but you don't touch the people. You don't make an atmosphere so the people can't be themselves. So they have to, you know, it's like there's this Marvin Gaye tune play at the end that I played a couple of weeks ago called Piece of Clay. It's like everybody wants to mold somebody and see their own vision of what the deal is. And that's not what WBAI has been about. You know,
it just appears oppressive from as an onlooker and a listener.
It's a very oppressive.
And it's very oppressive.
And no matter how many times people say it's oppressive and frightful. But, you know, no matter what, you know, what the happy face said, oh, we have the best thing, this best, that, you know. Look, the microphone, you can't lie behind the microphone.
Yeah, I think that to me, the biggest problem as a listener is that the station is getting boring, you know.
Well,
because it's people are walking around on tippy toes, and there are so many things you cannot say. I might as well listen to, I don't know, to ABC, to OR, to something like that, because there's the realness is disappearing from the station.
Well, the main thing that bothers me from the very beginning with this, I heard the interim manager say about the Heritage Foundation that we need these voices also. And I feel I can get all the Heritage Foundation propaganda from all the other stations. And to me, that was very telling from the very beginning. And I also have a concern, if anyone else heard it, that this person said that she stood at Samari Markston's at a funeral, and I was at that also. She said that she vowed to him then how she was going to carry forth and what she was going to do. She enumerated on Gary Noel's show what she was going to do. She promised him. And now this was much before what happened at the end of December.
Is that our leader?
Well, look, let me say this, because I really, you know, my whole thing, look.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I tell a lot of people, look, there's a couple of things, but one of the things is I don't blame people for getting into positions and then carrying out their agenda. I'm saying that's just one person.
Okay,
that's my big problem. My big problem has nothing to do with, you know, some happy face trying to come in here, you know, rolling around and you know, putting whatever they put up and saying that you must say good morning or whatever the deal is. Because, you know, I know the Father Divine trick. We call it the Father Divine trick, you know, where, you know, you're supposed to say praise the Lord or whatever you say, and you're supposed to say it with a happy face. And if you don't say it, then they look at you and they say praise the Lord, you know, like trying to force you to say it, to be like the S kind of thing, you know, the Werner Erhard kind of thing. Everybody knows about that, you see. But I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in what we call the mid-management people, the producers, and their responsibility in the station that they have built. See, because it's not just one person has built this station.
I agree with you.
And that's
my
big problem.
With someone having a preconceived agenda.
I don't mind if you have an agenda. You know, I don't have to have a preconceived agenda. But my thing is, well, everybody has an agenda. I used to tell Samori all the time. I said, Samori, I have, you know, and of course I have a hidden agenda in this. And he said, well, you know, if you say your hidden agenda is not so hidden. I said, that's because I don't believe in hidden agendas. My agenda is always to do live radio drama. That's what everything I do is about, live radio drama. That's all I ever wanted to do on radio. And so what happens is that's my agenda. I state it. Is when you state your agenda as such and such, and then you do something else. That's a hidden agenda. That's disingenuous. When you start lying on these airwaves, that's disingenuous.
Of course. Yeah.
When you talk about you will take anybody on, you'll debate anybody or whatever, you just whatever have you, and then you constantly surround yourself with the same people, you know, shaking their head up and down, saying, yeah, you right, yeah, boss, okay, yeah, boss, you right, boss. Is this a new, yeah, boss, come on.
Well, you think people are stupid?
That comes through of the radio. It's obvious to the listener.
Yeah, I think what's happening is, Anthony, you, if you don't mind my correcting you for a minute, it's not praise the Lord, it's praise the lead.
Well, again, I don't want to, you know, I'm not into smacking on people or anything like that. I mean, you know, if the person has any kind of courage, they just come in and talk to me straight up. Or they invite me on one of their little coffee clutch shows, you know, and we'll have an intelligent discussion about radio. I want to talk about radio. I don't want to talk about personalities, you know. I don't want to talk about, you know, somebody's hidden agenda. I want to talk about radio.
Okay, what is the reason why you can't be in that other studio for Democracy Now?
Well, when we ask one person in charge, they say ask the other person. We ask the other person, well, you have to ask that person, and then they would say, well, what is the real reason? You ask then again, you ask your the person that's supposed to be in charge of you in the national level, what's the deal is, and they say, well, it's up to the station manager's discretion. We can't do anything about it. Well, I say, well, that's nice, you know. Then my question is, well, what's your job then? If your job is not talking up for your program or getting the best thing for your program, then what are you doing?
Well, but that kind of behavior certainly does not engender people wanting to send money.
Well, I can't, you know, again...
But I'm saying that kind of vindictiveness, that kind of pettiness, it's just hateful, that kind of behavior.
Well, that's true.
And I enjoy this station. I have contributed, but that's a beloved program, along with some of the others. And to treat it like that, I just I can't stand for people not to be respected. I felt that way about Brother Shine. I felt he was underappreciated.
Well, it's a history. Everybody, a lot of people here are underappreciated. You know, I mean, really. And you have to, when you come here, you have to know what you're getting into. A lot of people don't know what they're getting into, and they really think they're, you know, they think they don't understand. This is not what it's about. Let me give you this really interesting story. When I was arts director, there was a proposal to get KRS-One to do a program here on the station. And I said no. And people looked at me like I was out of my mind. Well, you mean KRS-One? This is at the time, you know, very big in the world of hip-hop, you know. Well, he's still big in the world of hip-hop. But it's like, I'm going like, no. They said, well, why not? I said, because this is a person. This is I don't want to say a celebrity, but this is a person that has... that has record deals, all kinds of things going on. If they became a producer at this station, and then they had to do a gig in Japan or wherever it is, you know what I mean, for 3 weeks or whatever it is, that breaks our continuity for that person. I'd rather get somebody in that world that's dedicated to radio and has access to that person than to get that celebrity. We don't need the celebrity here. We need the person with information that has access to that celebrity. And that's exactly what I did. That's why Jay Smoove is on the air. Because he knows about that world.
Yeah.
And that's why KRS-One isn't. Because he has other things to do. If you at that level, you need to be traveling around. You need to be spreading the word. You need to be on a bunch of radio stations. You know, you need to, you know, but you don't need to be here.
I just wanted to say, my husband
celebrity.
And I, we marvel at your music selections, how you're able to always have the appropriate music and...
Oh, we work very hard at it. I actually tried to cut my album. No.
Is there a roster that you're able to do that?
No, actually, I'm a little, now I'm really hampered because Brother Shine, I would go into his archives sometimes too, and he took all his archives away. So this is going to be very interesting in the next few weeks what I come up with.
He's definitely not coming back.
Let me put it this way. His CDs are gone from the station. Now, when you clear out your locker and your CDs, that means you're pretty serious.
He seems serious. I heard him crying on the air.
Well, I didn't hear the program, but I'm telling you, his stuff ain't here. And talking to Brother Shine throughout the years, you know, there are a few people that are actually principled, and he one of those people that are principled.
He's a very sweet man. You know, he's a very decent man.
Well, you know, you can tell, because when somebody brings other people up to the station and trains them, that means something. When it's not about you or me or I radio, you know what I'm saying? That says something.
Yeah,
a lot of people, they ask me, they say, well, Anthony, I ain't heard you on the radio. I don't understand. What you know, how long you been here? When I tell them, I've been here since 1983. So what have you been doing all the time? Training people? Trying to help out? Trying to do this? Trying to do that? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, on down the line? Of course, you know, I don't want a program on the air. This doesn't serve me at this particular point in my life. What serves me is to get this institution the way it's supposed to be. And to do that is not trying to be an example of a demagogue, but an example of somebody who functions at a radio station. Not who functions at some sort of, I don't know, some sort of military camp, encampment. That's the sort of warden situation. It's a radio station. This is a supposedly progressive radio station.
Yeah, the theory is it's free speech radio.
Well, you know, call it what you want, but we ain't doing whatever it is. It's not even a radio station. That's what I'm trying to say.
I'm going to put my tinted psychology in. I think it comes from a colonial mentality myself.
Well, you know, have at it. I'm not going to challenge your opinions on that. I'm going to keep on going. There's other callers on the line.
Okay,
I
want
to play another music.
You're a lovely man, Anthony.
Well, thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
All right. Oh, well, I think that works. I hope I got it down. I got to take them off. Off. Got to knock out conference and then take them off. Go. Oh, well. Let's see. See, the problem is that the Gentner is not the best system here with so many people banging on it. Try conference again and see if I can get somebody else on. Oh, okay. That's what I got to do. Hello, you're on the air. Hello, it's you. Okay, it's not you. Take you off. Oh, there you go. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. Can you hold on just a second?
Yeah.
I got to see if I can get this another person here. Good morning. You're on the air also. Oh, okay. That's not a person. Hold on a second. Don't go any place. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Anthony. How are you?
I'm well.
Yes.
Can you both hold on? It's gonna mess up your thing.
No.
I want to play a record. Can I play a side?
Do it.
Okay. This is a fellow Year of the Tiger, Stevie. I played this morning on Democracy Now. I'm gonna play it again because I like it. Y'all stay there. Listen up. That's what I feel like. It's like, you know, I helped build this station. Okay, what anybody say, I helped build this station. We're at this location because of something I put into place. I ain't gonna stand for anybody just to come in here and just try to do their little thing. And then just try to gather forces around them who know nothing about radio or so little about radio that all they can do is say, but you have to do this. I ain't gonna stand for it. Okay. So, y'all feel me? You understand what I'm saying?
Totally. Hey, listen, this is Paul G. I was on Paul Darienza's show last night, and I just wanted to say that I was very sad to hear the news about Brother Shine resigning the station. And I just wanted to say, Brother Shine, if you're listening, I'm really sorry to hear that, and I would like to see you come back, man. And, you know, answer my email and stuff and, you know, let me know how you're doing. And I hope everything's going all right.
But if I know Brother Shine, he's probably out of the territory right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe he's not, but I'm just saying. I'm just speculating.
Well, this is a shout-out to him and just to let him know that I'm thinking about him and I was really, really bummed out to hear what happened. And, you know, if he's out there, if you hear from him or whatever, just, you know, send him my goodwill.
Okay, I will.
And, you know, just tell people stay strong. And you know, it's, in my opinion, it's really sad. I didn't really hear the circumstances, like what caused him to, you know, basically pull out. But, you know, whatever it is, I think the station, it's a great loss to the station, you know. And I'm sad Brother Shine made that basically, you know, serious decision to, like, you know, make that kind of change.
Well, I don't know what he... I mean, I didn't listen to the broadcast either. I didn't hear the broadcast either.
No, I didn't hear it. I didn't know anything about it. All I heard is I tune in and he wasn't there anymore. And I was really, freaked out. Yeah.
But I know one... Well, I want to make a little comment about something else. Who's the other caller?
Yeah, hi.
Hi. Do you have something to say?
Yeah, well, I had a music question for you. But,
so go ahead. Ask the music question.
I also wanted to mention, I think I just heard Robert Knight's show was pulled. That's another great loss. But in baseball, managers come and go. The game goes on.
That's true. But the quality of the match, you have to understand.
There's a human factor here, too.
Before we can address this, managers come and go.
Yeah.
The commissioner of baseball doesn't come in and then start getting rid of managers who have a track record. Okay? Commissioner does not do that. And the commissioner is the one that's in charge of all the owners, if you will. You see, so what I'm trying to say is that, you know, if you want to look at this somewhat objectively, the people who are targets are people who have a track record. You can call it, you know, they have a track record in journalism, whatever they have a track record in. And because they have, that's their personality, because they're at the top of their form in their game, they have a certain amount of ego and expertise in their game. So if you have somebody else that's coming along and they're all about ego, and they got to get rid of you because, you know, they got to have a placid situation for themselves to shine, then that's what it's about to me. Because I've always been of the opinion, you can ask anybody in my circle, and you all who you surround yourself with, I'm going to say that right now, you all who you surround yourself with, I'm proud, I always tell people, I'm the weakest link in my circle. I'm the weakest link in my train. I don't try to get people around me who know less than I do. Everybody around me knows more than I do. I'm surrounded by brilliant people. Talk about my inner circle, not just people I know. So when I work with somebody like David Wright in theater, I mean, he knows what he's doing in theater. And I work with him because he knows what he's doing. And what we try to do is we try to get to the theater piece, not the trappings, not trying to make David more famous than anybody else or Anthony more famous or this entity or that entity. We're trying to get to the piece and raise the piece up. So at this radio station, we're trying to raise this radio station up, not trying to squash individuals so other individuals can come up.
Well,
not to run around here like petty, like little policemen.
Sounds like Woody Allen's line that my brother thinks he's a chicken, and we've been considering getting him a therapist, but right now we really need the eggs.
Well, you know, I just can't. I guess I'm just too close to it. I can't be too glib anymore, because it's not just on one side. I mean, you know, you'd be surprised. I mean, I have my fights in democracy now, because I don't believe in heavy-handed cutesy things either. I mean, I believe in light, subtle, really, like, just things that when you wake up, you say, you know, I think he's saying something with that, you know? What is he saying? And you got to really research what's going on. I don't like banging people over the head with stuff, you know? It's just not my style, you know? So, I mean, it's like on all levels. I'm like, oh, man, another on this level, I got to fight over here. I got to fight over here. They're not understanding what I'm saying over here. You know, admittedly, and maybe I'm not the best communicator but in the world, but I'm going like, this is so clear to me. I have no idea why people don't understand, you know.
What's not clear to me is where, maybe you can tell me since you mentioned Marvin twice, Eric Sermon has a cut with Marvin called Music.
Yep.
Where did Marvin record that himself? Or
yep.
Where can I find that?
Oh, I've played it many a time. Well, I haven't played it many a time. There is an album put out by Columbia. It's a double album set. It's called Midnight Love and the Sexual Healing Sessions.
Hmm.
And on one disc is the Midnight Love album complete. The other disc is basically the outtakes of Midnight Love, or, you know, some stuff that they do three versions of Sexual Healing.
Right.
One with, it was like an instrumental version.
Mm-hmm.
One, just Marvin's voice. He's singing basically, you hear in the headphones, the backing track, and he's just singing, they record the vocal track, and then one is the full out version. The other a cappella thing he does on thing is a thing called, Give me some music. Give me some music. What the heck is it? No,
just like
Lincoln.
Music.
Say it again.
Just like music.
Just like music. And he does the vocal version alone, and then it's the full out, you know, vocal and instrumental track.
Okay, I've never seen that CD around.
You can get it. The only place I know that you can get it from is now where. Oh man, I always blank on this. Okay, you know 8th Street, right?
Mm-hmm.
Between 2nd and 3rd Avenue, St. Mark's Place, right? On the downtown, on the south side of the street, you have Sounds, right? Mm-hmm. You know Sounds up on the second floor,
right?
Okay, across the street, a little bit, you know, across the street and a little bit towards 3rd Avenue. If you go up the second, floor, there's a record shop with two sides to it. One sells old used records, the other one is more new records. It's right upstairs from another record shop called 13.
Okay.
That's why I'm blanking on this guy's name. Anyway, and the place where they sell the new side, the new sides, the new CDs,
right?
They have it there.
Okay, I will.
And it's very reasonably priced, by the way.
Thanks.
And it's a great double CD set. It really is. You know, in fact, the last song that he does on the album, "My Love Is Waiting," on the album he does it by talking to CBS, you know, thanking CBS for this or that, and then he goes into the song. Well, on this one, they have that, of course, in the midnight, midnight love session. But on the other CD, they have it without that introduction. So that's where you can get it from. That answer your musical question?
It does.
Okay, I'm taking some more calls.
Thanks.
Okay. Well, before I take calls, I should play a record or two. Not two, but just one. And I'll come in the middle of the record. Which one should I play? What shall I give you? What shall I give you? No Marvin Yes yet. Well, they got this extended version of Buffalo Soldier. Oh, well, I'll figure it out even as I... Let me get rid of these calls first. I'll figure it out even as I... take these next two calls. WBAI issue.
Yeah, technical issues here.
Yeah, Grayson. Hi.
I wanted to.
I think I have solved it. You have to put it in conference.
So, because what you need to do is to test the system to its limits.
Okay.
It'll take a maximum of 4 calls outside of VIP. When you go into VIP mode, it'll take a maximum of 3 calls.
Okay, well, I'm not... The VIP is not working for me. Conference works for me. I tried VIP.
Okay, but I just want to let you know, because when you use VIP, it'll allow you to retain the channel that I'm calling you on.
That's right. But you're the only way to call
it. Only
that's right.
2 additional calls. And if you put me on hold, I'll tell you the rest of how to do it.
Okay, wait, hold on a second.
Listen, I'll tell you what to do. Put me on hold.
I'll put you on
then,
hold. Yeah.
What you do
press
is,
the hold button.
Yeah. Then you pick me up on the handset.
Okay, hold on.
And then you press the button that I'm flashing on. I should also tell you, well, you know what? Maybe you shouldn't do that. Get a piece of paper and write this, and I'll tell you the entire detail.
Okay. Can I try these other two calls while you're on there?
Yeah.
Why don't you hold on before I take anything down?
Yeah, just make sure it's in conference.
It is in conference.
And then when you pick up, you can pick up the person on the handset just to try this.
No, try it on
the
handset.
And then when you get them on the handset, hit air.
Oh, okay.
And it'll automatically add them to the lineup.
Let's try that.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? Well, that's a whatever line. Oh, that's no good, too. Hello?
Pick up on the handset. Pick up the handset.
Hi, we're trying our sophisticated, you know, screening the call thing. But hold on. I'm going to put you on air right now. Hold on. And I think you're on air.
Yeah,
you on
doing? Good.
He's there.
It actually works.
Okay, that one works.
I can hear you.
Okay, now. Let me get somebody else on. Can I try the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to pick up the handset.
As long as you don't go more than four.
More than four.
If you go more than four, it'll drop one of the callers and you can't predict.
No, I have the answer for the beatnik question, if that's still open.
Oh yeah, that's definitely open. No question ever gets closed on Freeform Radio, by the way.
Oh, okay, good.
That's a rule. Uh-huh. Early Morning Radio Alliance rule.
Okay, great.
Okay, give me
okay,
an
answer. Okay, what I have here was in the late 50s, you had Jack Kerouac.
Yeah.
And a guy named John Holmes.
Okay.
Spreading the word Beat Generation.
Right. We know about that part.
And then a guy named Herb Cain, that's C-A-E-N.
Yes.
Yeah, he coined Beatnik.
Okay, that's what we got from out in California.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's a columnist. He's a newspaper person. My problem is that exactly. Where did he get it from? He could have got it from somebody and then wrote it up.
Well, didn't he get it from Jack Kerouac?
Well, we don't know. The other thing is that Bob Kaufman could have gave it to him. And in New York, you had this Herbert Honky guy.
Oh, okay.
That's the controversy.
I always thought that the whole Beatnik thing started in New York. I'm surprised it started. And I'm just getting...
No, I'm saying this guy, this Herb Cain, Herb... Did I say Cain? What is his name?
Cain. C-A-E-N.
Yeah, Herb Cain. He's supposed to be in the Bay Area. Hold on. I got to still test it. Grayson, you still there?
Sure. Yeah.
Hold on. I got. I'm keep on testing. You don't go anyplace. Number 8. Oh, here we go. WBAI, you're on the air.
How you doing?
I'm well.
Yeah, I'd like to ask you a question.
Surely.
Yeah, you seem to be bothered by the things going on at the station.
Oh, for sure.
And I would like to know, what did you do as a person, as an individual, to right some of the injustices that was done before this all went down? It seemed like that place was pretty bad before it all went down.
Oh, then you have to go into my history, and I'll be glad to tell you, but hold on just a second.
All right.
Grayson.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I got you and two other people on.
Okay.
So I try.
You can add a fourth person, you can also get everybody, you can poll everybody as to the how well they can hear each other, et cetera, and how well you can hear them.
Okay, now somebody's breathing pretty heavily. Is somebody in the street?
Somebody's breathing into the phone.
Is somebody in the street?
No.
No? Okay, well, there's some kind of...
In the phone somehow.
Okay, there's some sort of interference. I don't know who it is. Hold on a second.
Try the faders.
Oh, okay. I got just at you. It's one of those.
Okay, it's the fan. He says it's the fan.
Oh, you got the fan?
Yeah, it's gone.
Oh, this is good because Grayson, you could hear him when he was talking, but I couldn't hear him. That's good. That's good so far. Hold on a second.
We're testing the performance of the system. Actually.
Okay, now I'm gonna put a fourth person on. Now is he gonna go? He's gonna come onto your bus?
Yeah. What you do to put the next person on?
Yeah.
You don't have to pick up their handset. You can just press the button.
I am.
And it'll add them.
Okay. Here we go. Oh, wait a second. Oh, man. It's not working on that one. Let me try this one. Oh. Guess what? Wait a second.
Do you have VIP on?
Yeah, VIP is on. Conference is on.
Okay. No, what? As long as you have VIP on, it'll only take 3 callers.
Oh, well,
because the VIP person is reserved for one of the hybrids.
Okay, so
let me get the best quality from them.
So let me take.
You have to take VIP off.
Okay, let me take it off.
Yeah.
So that means you're the one that was on VIP. Yeah. Now let me try this fourth caller here. WBAI, you're on the air.
There you go.
Oh, that's a line. Okay, hold on.
You got a deadline.
Yeah, I got you.
Drop it.
I'm trying to.
Yeah.
WBAI, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
I'm still here.
Okay, that's the fourth person.
Yeah.
So that's working. You know the problem also with the Gettner. Grayson, is that, you know, you have to press so hard on the numbers because people, I don't know.
I changed the membranes on that, and I have them on order.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
All right, we're...
You got 4 online, and could everybody say hi to each other?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, what's up?
How you doing? All right, I can hear everybody. It's great.
Okay.
Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Right, cool.
Okay, so we got 4 people. Okay.
Okay.
Well, wait, hold on. Let me do something else.
Anthony.
Yeah.
You want to do another test?
Yeah, I want to find out who else is on your bus. The last person that called in, I want you to talk. Just start talking.
What's up?
No, keep on saying. Keep on talking.
Check. 1, 2, 1, 2.
Okay, so Grayson, here's the situation.
Yeah.
The first person comes up on one bus, right?
Yeah.
The other three people are on the same bus, on the second bus.
Yes, you know why?
Okay.
Because you probably had VIP on.
That's right.
Yeah.
So with that off, then the first person will come up on one bus, then two people come up on the second bus, and the fourth person will come up on the first bus?
It should come up on the first bus, but...
That's right.
Did that happen?
Well, I don't know. I had VIP on you on.
Okay.
Is that it?
Actually, you know, you're playing with the faders?
No, I'm not doing anything right now.
Okay, you can pull the faders down to see how well the levels match between the two of them.
Well...
They sort of either help you or hinder you, and you know, because we gotta get feedback to do it right. You like it.
Okay, well, I got to give one of the other two people a call. Somebody asked me a question about what did I do? Okay, no, I can't.
Yeah,
I can't,
that was me.
I'm gonna get to that in a second. Yeah, did somebody else have a question? The beatnik person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go. You start talking for a second.
Sure.
Okay, you're talking. So you understand what I'm saying is that I'm not saying that the guy Kane didn't coin it. I'm saying to me it's suspect because if you're a newspaper person or if you're a person like a radio person, I could hear this in the street. I can hear this from somebody. Then I come and say it on the air because so many people hear me on the air. They think that I'm the one that coined it. You see? I just want to try to, explore that possibility.
You know, I think that basically the person who coined it is probably anonymous.
Yeah, that's our task. You know, 50 years after the fact, we've got to find out.
You have to find out who actually coined it. I don't think it was anybody famous. I think it was probably a popular saying during that time.
Well, we got to know. Listen, we are the people. We are the people. No, we are the world. We got to find this out, and we can because the people always know.
Well, now was that coined in San Francisco or in New York?
I don't know. We have to figure this out.
Because it sounds like it's coined in San Francisco.
See, because I know that Kaufman. See, when I understand that Kaufman was in the Bay Area,
right?
Kane is in the Bay Area,
right?
When this other guy, Herbert Honky, is in New York.
Can I be a devil and just ask what the hell is beatnik?
Wait, you from the moon?
No, Grayson's from the Caribbean.
All right. Beatnik is a lot of gay guys in the 50s, right?
Basically, you have three or four people traveling from New York to San Francisco, okay? The three main people they talk about, there's another person I keep on forgetting who it is, but three main people they talk about is a guy named William S. Burroughs, right, poet. Allen Ginsberg, poet, the person that you're referring to, disparagingly, of course. You shouldn't talk bad about the dead because they'll smack you, you know? And then you have Jack Kerouac, who's, you know, you think of him as a poet, but to me he's more of an essayist, journalist, however you want to call it, person that keeps a writer.
Just was an alcoholic.
Yeah. Say it again.
He drank a lot. Huh?
Oh, guess what? Oh, no kidding. These are poets. It's like saying a rock star. He took a lot of drugs. Guess what? You know, I got a whole thing of Jimi Hendrix. So what? What does that mean? We're talking about okay. He's an alcoholic. Fine. For us, they're writers. All right. They're writers first, and they're alcoholics or whatever else they do. Womanizers. Gay people. Homosexual men. Whatever you want to call them. First, we're talking about it as writers because the beatnik is a right. Is a term of a movement that happened. Called a beat generation. Mm-hmm. And somebody explained earlier. So in fact, somebody hit me again with that. The whole Nick thing.
The who again?
The Sputnik, beatnik. Come on. Who?
The woman said that. It was a joke.
I don't know.
She said it was a joke that the Sputnik and the beatnik was supposed to be a put down.
Right. That was Janet saying that. Okay, I got you. Okay, so you understand the whole beatnik thing?
Yeah, kind of. But I would say that I don't think it's as a bigger deal as we're making it, because neck is as in red neck, and then you have beatnik, so it sounds like it's a put down, and it's like a takeoff on an old thing, so it ain't such a bright idea after all.
I think you're in a different bus.
But you know what happens, Grayson, like a whole lot of things.
And so we need to just deal with the content and not so much with the whatever.
A whole lot of things. When it started, sometimes it starts as a put down. But then when it loses its initial thing, it becomes something else. A classic term for this is the term cowboy. Cowboy was originally a derogatory term, actually used against black people. But now you think of cowboys as a very positive term.
Yeah, even
it goes through a metamorphosis. I'm just trying to say, beatnik may have started out as a put down, but now it's a positive term. Huh?
Yeah. Look at Lester Young. When he was playing and a white person was coming in, he usually said, there's a draft coming in. the draft. What does he mean by a draft? Draft coming in. He's talking about a white person coming
into the club.
A cold
breeze. Put it that way. A cold breeze.
Yeah, but you as a musician,
okay?
he would play that. I mean, they all did. All the jazz musicians did that. They play it on their instrument. You know, they play a song, you know, Ill Wind Blows, you know, they'll play that tune. You know, they don't have to say anything. You know,
when you talk about a word taken on a more positive note, do you remember when the X Generation used to be tied to rap music? Remember? And then all of a sudden the marketers got in there and called it the hip-hop generation and gave it a more positive spin, you know, hip-hop culture. And then it took off.
Marketing, I'll say you. Make money, you're all right.
Yeah, it took off once
they changed
the whole deal, because when you heard X Generation, you thought of like the burn off from the whole, you know, Angel Dust, you know, all that old craziness and that whole generation that was sort of lost, you know.
Let's be honest though.
Negative.
About rap music. If Eminem was a black guy, you wouldn't have sold as many records.
Well, yeah. You know,
I'm not saying it's good, but you wouldn't have sold. That's how the rap game, even.
You know, some you can't have it 25 different ways. Now remember, when hip hop first hit, right, it's mainly a black thing,
yeah.
And when it really first hit, I'm talking about really early. You know, people were selling their tapes out of their what determined the trunk of their cars.
That's
you know,
right.
Even though we're in New York, we don't have cars, but they're selling tapes to each other, and you know they're making enough money to survive and do whatever they're doing. In fact, the whole thing is about culture. It comes out of,
you know,
not only that, but also, you know, the graffiti artists were doing stuff, the breakdancers were doing stuff, everything was doing stuff. Well, hold on. Let me just say this. But what happened?
Hip hop came from Jamaica.
Thank you for that.
Jamaica is an American country, you know. Don't worry about that.
we know everything fine comes from Jamaica.
It.
Okay. Now back to the point. The thing is that at some point the greater American society was curious, or say the teenagers, you know, they were curious about what are those black kids doing. So you got these white kids checking it out. Now, if you got so many white kids checking it out, sooner or later, the law of whatever, you know, some of these white kids are going to attempt to do what they hear or what they see.
Yeah, but again, marketing comes
then,
in.
I understand that, but once you have a two or three generations or whatever, 10 or 15 years of people doing this, then finally you have one. You got to have an anomaly someplace.
It takes around one generation.
Yeah,
but 20 years.
I mean,
you're legitimizing it, though.
Who's that black skateboard champion? You know what I mean?
Right.
All I'm trying to say is, but you can't. So when the cat hits, and then all of a sudden there's all these white kids, they're saying like, well, let me buy somebody that looks like me that's doing this, so that I can perhaps do it, because you see what I'm saying? You do it because you can see it being done.
That's one way, Sloan, but I think another way is just, you know, the history of this country, the way, like, you know, black folks was doing rock and roll, and then they put Elvis out there. He was one of the people coming out with rock and roll, but they decided that, you know, to push him like they did.
There's a better analogy. This is a great story. And I got this from the horse's mouth.
I mean, who was funkier than Lou Richie? Come on.
That's true. But I got this from the horse's mouth. Do you know, at one point, this was like in the 50s and the 60s, there was a store on 125th Street that sold sneakers. And every year, the U.S. Keds, you know, remember U.S. Keds, the shoes, U.S. Keds?
With the magic wedge.
There you go. They would in this store window on 125th Street, they would put different kinds of U.S. Keds in the window. And whatever these black kids would buy, that would be the next line for next year.
He's right.
Okay? It is a known fact. This is a marketing fact that if you want to sell things to young white boys, you find out what young black boys are doing. And you take that and you can sell it to young white boys.
You know, the interesting thing about
and once
about
they get it,
hip-hop and rap,
everybody gets it.
Okay, but the thing about that, so what you're acknowledging here is that once you determine what the doggies are doing, then what you do is you put a European face on it, and they will buy it then, but they won't buy it as well if you would put a black face in it, even though they've seen black people actually wearing the thing or doing the thing, only when you put it. So then what that's telling me is that there's a racist undertone here.
Yeah, white supremacist.
I can only listen to my language.
Well,
I don't want to hear your language kind of thing.
Well, I think, I don't know. See, I'm not prepared. I'm not prepared to call it racist. I'm prepared to call
okay,
it.
Okay, it's like I can only recognize me then. I can only see me or recognize me or be spoken to me by me.
So
I don't listen to other things.
What you just said has been my problem with the BAI before now. They seem to always want to defuse or derail the racial conversation.
Yeah.
And that's realism because, you know, just a couple of years ago, maybe 2.5 years
we'll
ago, a brother
class,
got
though.
Dragged.
We'll push the class. We'll push the class.
Saying, a brother got dragged. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Behind a car. That, you know, they didn't do it because they didn't like his sneakers. They did it because the guy was black.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a whole lot of things that happen, and people just say, oh, well, you know, it ain't racial, it's economic. True, there are other components. But listen, man, it's a racist society. It,
that,
always
it
has
is, but there, we should ignore the other aspects of it as well.
If we start telling our black kids that, you know, if we start defusing the message we're supposed to be sending them to protect themselves, they'll walk into these things not looking
for
it.
Hold on, before
like
we shift.
Young brother up in
before,
the Hamptons
before,
who got his head smashed.
Before,
with
hold
the
on,
club,
hold on. Before we shift you know, too far away. The conversation had to do about how did Eminem get to be, you know, the top rapper.
Well,
hold on a second. All I'm explaining to you, it comes from someplace. It comes from the underground. I'm trying to say it comes from the underground.
Yeah.
Right now, there's a fashion that's going on right now where basically women cut the dungarees at the top. So you get more bottom showing. Now, I first saw an ad for that. Parasuco jeans up
it's
in
called winking.
Well,
it's called the butt winking.
Right, but winking. I first saw a big poster of this from Parasuco jeans up in Montreal, Canada. When I first saw it, I mean they were showing much more than you see, and I'm going like, who's going to wear that? And I asked somebody in Montreal, and she said, oh, they'll wear that. You wait till it gets warm. They'll wear that. That's what they'll wear. But I first saw that not actually in Montreal. I first saw that 5 or 6 years ago on the dance floor when you go to the old shelter.
Yep.
You know the fashions they wore on that dance floor is now, you see what I'm saying? I'm just trying to say it comes from the underground. Now
so
if black people are in the underground,
he had Drake
it's come
do
from
his
there.
Tracks. He had that legitimized his music behind him, number one. Now, the kid do put together some nice words. I listened to it, and he does put together some nice images. Now, but what
if he was black, if his skin was bad, they wouldn't be buying it as much.
Well, what I'm saying is that there's a lot of black people that are legitimizing him because, you know, I mean, you can sell anything to people if you play it long enough.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well,
how many the music
if I ran over here and just said...
Yeah.
If I ran here and just kept on saying WBAI New York 99.5 on your FM radio tuner, if I said that, you know, quite often, then guess what? When Arbitrons come out, then everybody would be saying, you know, we listen to WBAI 99.5 on your FM radio tuner because they heard
we
it so much.
We don't have time to do that, man.
You're right.
We can't afford the few seconds.
Let me tell you, y'all have had the drama now since the first, man. Y'all had the, I mean, y'all been knocking out the soap operas and everything with the drama going on over there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not joking.
We good at it.
Yeah,
too.
But the problem is this radio drama does not have a director.
can I make a switch here?
Yes.
Because I want to get out because my kid woke me up and that's how I was able to come on and like because I heard Anthony struggling and stuff.
How young is that?
And so on, like you know, and he's like young and he wears me the hell out and I'm the only one taking care of him right now.
He's 2 years old.
It's rough.
Yeah, go ahead.
24 months. All right. Yeah. I mean, actually, 28 months old he is now.
Hey, you're a lucky fellow, man.
Well, thank you very much. You know, I can't see the evidence, you know. I mean, like, I got these big lumps up in my eyes.
He's going through it. He's going through it.
Well, later on.
Yeah, right. All right. So the thing we should do at this point, Anthony.
Yeah.
Is to try out the hold feature so you get an idea of how the hold works.
The hold.
Okay?
Okay.
The hold is very tricky. Do it once. Press hold, and everybody's going to go on hold.
Okay.
And then what you do is you press next.
Yeah.
Okay? And then you press next 4 times in succession.
Mm-hmm.
And it will add a caller. Make sure, because the contacts are not very good, make sure they don't bounce.
It'll add a caller
okay,
to the four people that's already on?
One solid push, one solid push, one solid push. Don't do like a double push, like tut-tut. If you do tut-tut, it will drop the call that it was going to acquire.
Okay, hold on a second. Let me go over this again. When I press hold, everybody's going to go on hold. Then when I press next.
Yes.
Now, those people are not going to come off hold.
They're going to come off hold and come back online one by one.
One at a time.
Okay. Yeah. Let's try that. Here we go. Everybody, hold on. Everybody still holding on?
Holding on.
Yep.
Wait a second. Hey, but y'all can go off there.
And we hear you talking on hold, in the hold position.
Yeah, but y'all still on. Hold on a second. Let me try again.
Yeah, we're holding.
Okay, now. Oh, I see it. Okay, now. Y'all can't hear me, right? I mean, you can hear me, but y'all can't see. I mean, y'all can't talk, right? You see? Hey, I love that part. Okay, now I press next one time. Who do I got?
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, this is Sean.
Oh, you're the one who thinks that we got drunks and homosexuals running around the country, right?
Yeah, I was the one to talk about this.
I got you. Okay, yeah. Hold on a second. I got to get the next person. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, did you have the question about what did I do?
Yeah, in the early... Well, let me just preface it by saying this. I heard your first outburst in the studio with Clayton and Amy, and I got a different impression of you. But now talking to you on the phone, I'm seeing that you're a different fella.
Well, right?
I want to say that's more reasonable. Now I want to hear.
I have to explain that one, but yeah. I'll explain that first, and I'll say what I did way before then. Okay.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me try to get this person. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, it's you. You're the beatnik person, right?
Right. Listen, let me add one more point to the hip hop point, since I may not get another chance.
Okay, hurry up because I get Grayson back on.
Okay.
He's got to go back to his kid. Hold on, let me get Grayson on right now.
Okay, get him on. I'll make the point.
Grayson?
All right, I'm here.
Okay, go back to your kid.
And I'm listening.
Okay, go back to your kid. See you later, man.
One thing I wanted to say, though, about this hip-hop thing,
uh-huh.
is because here again, what's funny is that if we look at our society, we realize that one thing that we get as, non-European participants in the society is a conditioning to respond to the people who really have the answers, the people who are wise, the powerful ones, the Europeans, okay? Because they're the ones who make the rules that stick, okay?
Wait a minute.
It's there. I mean, you might have trouble with it and how it comes across, but that's the reality. We get a conditioning. I'll give you one quick story about about Namazi, actually.
How quick is this going to be? You're supposed to be getting back to Namazi.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he's sleeping in the room there now, and it's about him.
Okay, go ahead. Hopefully you won't listen to you.
And this is really serious.
Okay.
It just shocked me, because, I mean, I know it happened all the time, but to see it in my face is, like, terrible. Painful, I would say. His babysitter is Chinese. She speaks Cantonese. And she has, like, three kids, and they range in age from about, like, 13 on down.
Right.
And down to Namazi's age, 2 years and 4 months, actually 3 months. And what happens is, at the time, and what happened was that the other kid is about like six, seven years old. And what happens is that Namazi's mother, who is a European-American of Irish background, was talking to them one evening, and the mother was like sitting there, and she was like really angry, you know. And all of a sudden... the kids are saying, look at me, my hair is curly. And, of course, their hair is, like, totally straight and black. And then they start to talk about their eyes, and basically they were, you know. And the person who was describing the situation to me, the event, said to me, they said, it was so embarrassing. The mother was angry, and the situation was very embarrassing and painful to the onlooker, who was a European. And they said to me, you know what that means. And I said, yeah. I said, now you see how it really is. And I said, it doesn't matter who you are. I say, it doesn't matter what you look at on TV. If you're a non-European person, you get a put down or you get ignored.
Exactly.
That's a constant message that you get coming out. So that's a conditioning. And what you were experiencing when those children were telling you with their behavior that we don't think we are good enough the way we are. And these are, you know, Asian-American children, because they were born here, Asian-Americans.
You have to put on weave.
Hey, Grayson, don't leave a minute. I got to say something.
Wait. Let me just finish the story here, because it's important. Now, when you have this, this seasoning, okay, in the dish of America, okay, and that seasoning sticks to both European Americans and non-Europeans, because Europeans get Americans get to know that they're really worth a lot, and non-Europeans get to feel marginal and not so good, and we get pissed off and angry, and that's like in the subcode in the software in our psyche, and then we have to manage that anger, okay? And so you have these people who are also told, you know, these other people are not as good, and they accept it because they actually act on it. Now it's slowly going away, and what we do is, because it's comfortable to us, we make a big deal about it going away because we want it to go away, but it's not going away fast enough, and it's still well entrenched, and we don't want to admit that part. And so what happens is that when you get an M&M, hold on, when you get an M&M, and you take a known African art form or non-European art form, and you then repackage it, and you get the people who are really good at it to take part in creating work for the European,
That's right. Then
it comes out under the European face. You can see where he gets both the market that trusts him and values him and says, see, we can do it.
That's marketing.
Identification,
yeah,
right?
That's marketing.
Okay, but you call it marketing, but what it's doing is it's making use, effective business use, of the characteristics, the social characteristics in the society. And when we talk about these things, we should acknowledge them and don't be doing this half-stepping in our language, because some of what we are making observations about are uncomfortable or undesirable. We have to keep that in mind. And one of the things I ask myself above all else is to, Grayson, no matter what happens, you have to be willing to, I mean, incriminate yourself in the scenario. And even if you find yourself in a situation where you don't look good, you have to, like, don't blink and just face up to it. And not only that, you know, if you can do that, then you are more likely to arrive at the truth and not yourself color the findings that you then talk about because of your discomfort that you were going through at the time. So you got to be willing to walk that, you know, fiendish, uncomfortable road and say it clearly, and not with, like, bitterness or anger, and try to be as clear as possible. And a lot of times I find we're not like that. We're dishonest. All right? And so now that we know the entire phone system, anybody wants to, like yeah, you know, knock me down, shoot me down before I go, because I got to go.
There's only one group of people that Europeans will say, I got some of their blood in my veins, and that's the Indians. And you know why? Because the Indians fought their behinds off. You know what I mean? They gave them a real physical fight.
No, that's...
Hold on a second.
Yeah, but they're also supposed to be sacred and
special. Hold on a second. They gave them a real physical fight. Black folks have never really been a physical threat, never really put up a physical threat, or even gave the impression that they were. They felt if they married into their race or they just got along to get along, eventually they would bring them in. You know, why won't they let us in their Hollywood?
Well,
why won't they let us in their music company? And the deal is, we got to close our ranks and do our thing.
You know why?
I think there are Africans who have given them a physical fight, can't acknowledge it, because if they do, they will acknowledge a character about Africans that they don't want to, because they don't want to say that you are this way and you're, you know,
I'm talking
silly
about
and whatever.
Americans. I'm talking about American blacks. All right, that's what I'm talking about right now. What I'm saying is that.
What about Matt Turner and all these other people, man?
Hold on a second. Let me finish what I'm saying. I'm saying we got a couple of problems. One, when they do something to us, we get religious people and put them on the front line. They know we're not coming for anything but peace at that point. And there's no leverage. We have no leverage in any kind of bartering system. If we got religious people, we're coming to make peace. We should have people out there with strategy. You know what I'm saying?
I have strategy.
Military strategy. Also, we do not have an intelligence organization like the CIA or the Israeli Secret Service. We don't have that. If we have had that, we could get information and we would know how to vote or how to do this.
But you're not a nation.
How to move as a group.
But you're not a nation.
Yes, we are.
You are.
We are a nation within a nation. So
yeah,
the Jews,
you know what?
Always,
you don't have the. You see, you,
hold on. The Jews
you are
always
potentially that, but you don't have the infrastructure to be that.
Well,
to be
that's
a nation,
what I'm
you have to have certain
need.
Systems in place.
That's what I'm saying.
Official
we need
systems.
To start.
No, you don't have them. So you have the potential of being a nation in the nation, but you don't have it. You
what
don't
I'm saying
in
is, in every place the Jews have ever been, they've been a nation within a nation, wherever they ever been.
Because they established the structures.
Eventually, the hierarchy had to come to them and talk to them to get certain things done. You know, they had to talk to their hierarchy to get things done. And I'm saying, until we get together and start being proud about what we're doing and who we are and buying from each other and all of that. Our kids ain't going
to
respect us. Nobody's going
to
respect us if we don't do that. Right now, we at that level where nobody respects us, man.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, ask me two questions.
Okay. Isn't it not true that in the European Jewish community, and I do mean European Jewish community, because these are the communities that are most prominent in our society. And when Sammy Davis Jr. tried to get in there, they didn't even acknowledge him as Jew.
Well,
even though a large tenet of the Jewish makeup is their religious belief, that's what distinguishes